Morning, friends. It is indeed a pleasure to be coming your way again by means of radio. Listen to this verse. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and of the leaven of Herod. Mark 8:15. Now, I want to talk about this verse in just a few moments and tell you some of the things I have learned about it. As I began to do a little research on Herod, I found a much bigger subject than we could possibly cover and do justice to in one short broadcast. Nevertheless, we can surely look at it and some of the high points. But first, this poem. Christ is the answer. This life is filled with troubles. All of us have our share. And some of them are problems extremely hard to bear. For every friend, there seems to be enemies all around, and very often it's a battle just to stand our ground. It's then we call on Jesus to give us needed strength to struggle ever onward and go to any length. He is our consolation in time of greatest need. Our faith in Jesus will, I know, heal wounds that ache and bleed. And when the storm is over and seas are calm once more, we must give thanks to Jesus for getting us ashore. Never once forget him. Show him we truly care and that we always need him, although our skies are fair. Then, when the rains of heartache come to test our fortitude, Jesus again will give us a peaceful solitude. And now again, these words of Jesus. Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Most of us would understand, I think, what leaven is. Leaven is the working force within the dough before it is baked. One scripture says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, Galatians 5:9. In fact, these same words are found again in 1 Corinthians 5:6. Listen, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Then the 7th verse goes on. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So the leaven in this case is referring to something defiled. It is the evil element which permeates the whole loaf. Now, let us go back and consider some of the characteristics and deeds of Herod, of whom Jesus said, beware the leaven of Herod. There are some princes, quite a few of them in fact, are rulers by the name of Herod mentioned in the New Testament. It may be well if we pointed out specifically a few of these Herods. First, let us consider what we might say as the father of them all. You see, most of these Herods are related, either being the son or the grandson of this Herod the Great. Now, do you remember when Christ was born, Herod had the children of the Jews slain who were under 2 years of age, hoping to find and kill Jesus? Adam Clark, in commenting on this verse from Matthew 2:1, had this to say. This was Herod, improperly denominated the Great, the son of Antipater and Idumean. He reigned 37 years in Judea, reckoning from the time he was created king of that country by the Romans. Our blessed Lord was born in the last year of his reign, and at this time the scepter had literally departed from Judah, a foreigner being now upon the throne. Now, this Herod the Great, improperly so called, was a very wicked and shrewd ruler. Inasmuch as Judea was under the Romans, he learned to play the game at both ends. He pretended to be the friend of the Jews by rebuilding the temple in a most magnificent and larger manner, but then on the other hand, he gained power and support from the Romans. However, if the term great, take notice of that, great, meant the wickedness he indulged in, then certainly this Herod would qualify without question. Let me enumerate a few of his deeds. First off, it is reported that he married 10 wives. One of his sons, Antipater, the oldest of his sons, he caused to be executed 5 days before his own death. You see, if any of his children became too anxious to grab the power away from him, then he was ready to even have them put to death if necessary. At one time, Herod had intended that this oldest son should have the kingdom after him. But things went amiss in the family, and Herod became enraged. And just 5 days before his own death, he had this son, Antipater, executed. Think of the wickedness. He also had one of his wives put to death. This was his second wife, Mariamman. The historian Josephus writes of Herod in this way. Now, some there are who stand amazed at the diversity of Herod's nature and purposes. For when we have respect to his magnificence and the benefits which he bestowed on all mankind, there is no possibility for even those that had the least respect for him to deny or not openly confess that he had a nature vastly beneficent. But when anyone looks upon the punishments he inflicted and the injuries he did, not only to his subjects, but to his nearest relations, and takes notice of his severe and unrelenting disposition there, he will be forced to allow that he was brutish and a stranger to all humanity, insomuch that these men suppose his nature to be different, and sometimes at contradiction with itself. But I am myself of another opinion, for being a man ambitious of honor, and quite overcome by that passion, he was induced to be magnificent. Wherever there appeared any hopes of a future memorial or of reputation at present. End of quote. This is the way Josephus summed up this man, known as Herod the Great. In another appraisal of this same Herod, Josephus put it this way. A man he was of great barbarity towards all men equally, and a slave to his passion, but above the consideration of what was right, yet was he favored by fortune as much as any man ever was. For from a private man he became a king, and though he were encompassed with 10,000 dangers, he got clear of them all and continued his life till a very old age. But then, as to the affairs of his family and children, in which indeed, according to his own opinion, he was also very fortunate because he was able to conquer his enemies, yet, in my opinion, he was herein very unfortunate. End of quote. However, when Jesus was warned that Herod would kill him, he replied, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." Luke 13:32. This was not speaking of Herod the Great, but of his son Antipas. It was Antipas who had married Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, while Philip was still living. Do you remember that? John the Baptist fearlessly told him this was wrong. So, you see, Antipas had also learned the secret of his father in persecuting the righteous in order to further his unjust and unrighteous reign in cooperation with the Romans. He was foxy and smooth in his deceit. Later, when Jesus was brought before Antipas, we find in Luke 23 and beginning with verse 8, "And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate." Can you see now why Jesus said, "Beware the leaven of Herod"? It was a spirit of deceit, compromise, and evil. Let us also beware the leaven of Herod. Shall we pray? Our Father, bless the message to the good of every listener. Deliver us from the spirit of compromise, deceit, and all forms of wickedness which has been revealed in those who have followed the ways of Herod. Preserve each one for thine own glory and use for that which is accomplished. We will give thee the praise through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear ones, if you've enjoyed the message, we'd be glad to hear from you. Address your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Here is a song, We Shall Run and Not Be Weary. It's sung by the Carver Quartet.
I now am running in the Christian race to gain the promised prize. Through Jesus' matchless saving, keeping grace, we'll crown him in the sky. We shall run and not be weary, we shall walk and never faint. We shall run and not be weary.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God bless and keep you, everyone, and a very cheerful goodbye.
We're traveling to a happy home. We'll